Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Seachtain, an Indo-Askeilige.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chur, agus súligam amach an seo, gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara I gcuir na meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthchar san I lis dúthail agus go mbeadh fanacht gáir a chloig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhíonn ann tar d'oraibh sé sin. Vin Marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Troy and Hurling show with Eddie Brennan and John Milan, along with myself, Michael Verney. Loads to talk about after a brilliant weekend of hurling. I suppose, Eddie, we might start in Semple Stadium, Tipperary and Galway. Very, very interesting game. Very topsy-turvy, a bit of a roller coaster. It was nearly a flurry of points from one side and then a flurry from the other. Tipperary finished strong. An important win for Tipperary, Eddie. A kind of a change in Tipperary, I suppose, and playing like a development style under Liam Cattle. But very, very important to get the win for them and finish with a strong, you know, with a strong finale to get the 2 points on the board.
Yeah, I suppose, Michael, yeah, a bit like some of the matches the weekend, we saw where one team, you know, dominates and then they kind of almost ease up and they maybe think that they haven't won or something. You know, we saw it in Kilkenny and Cork as well, but I suppose if you're looking to consolidate and build and drive on, like probably Liam Cal wants at the moment, most importantly then, I think you have to set out that your own ground is a fortress. You have to have that there are absolute... no gimmies whatsoever. You have to send out that message, and it's probably in keeping with, if you want, your values and your cultures of a team. You have to say, well, our own ground is just absolutely a no-no. People have to understand that if they come here, they're going to have to kill us to get a point. So therefore, that mentality is probably what's starting to shine through now a little bit with Tip. I'd imagine they earmarked this match, I would say, in terms of learning and... you know, they got caught probably a little bit by surprise by Galway in regard to how Galway set up last year. They probably tactically outmaneuvered them a little bit in that quarter final. So I'd say Cal had that in mind, and he obviously dispatched Mikey Breen then to follow Conor Whelan around the pitch. But all in all, it's probably starting to just take shape a little bit more now. I think it's starting to consolidate a little bit. I could even say you look at that Tipperary team, and you're probably looking at your defensive unit, they're starting to shape up a little bit. You know, you'll one or two personnel, like you think, okay, get Barrett back in there among those. You now have, you know, a pretty solid defensive unit, Jamie Kendi, Barry Heffernan, you know, a lot of experience now. So, yeah, they seem to be moving in the right direction. And look, again, yesterday, I suppose I touched on it in the piece there this morning about, you know, Garrod O'Connor. You look at the amount of miles that man is after clocking up on the body in terms of hurling miles in the last couple of weeks. He has done a lot. And yes, look, he's hurling with good freedom in that. But yeah, look, I suppose the flip side of that is you've seen dominant patches from Tip. Then you've seen Galway roar back into the match. And probably then is it maybe a case of expending so much energy, then you're not able to sustain it and the other team kind of bounces back a little bit. But yeah, I'd say Cal was all in all happy with that. Happy with the workmanlike performance. And probably, like them all, lots to do, but happy enough with where they sit right now.
Just a quick one back to you, Eddie, there, on something you mentioned there. Was it always a thing with Brian Cody where it's been a fear factor coming to your ground, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, it was just an absolute no-no. It was just a given. And an odd time you had to be reminded of that. I think, I remember, was it 1 year, I think the Reds came down and ran amok. I think he bagged 1-6 one day in the league. And there was a bit of an old powwow, even just before half time, and it carried into the dressing room a little bit. So it just stoked it up a small bit. But absolutely, I think you have to set down your marker. And I think during our time, there was only a few occasions. I remember even Clare came down 1 year. I think maybe 4 or 5, they came down, and it was a real warm day in April, I think, or no, March. And Colin Lynch just ran amok the same day. He was everywhere. he was like a lad just on Super Plus, on Leaded or something like that. He was everywhere. And just the aftermath to finish the point, yeah, and, you know, it would have been something that Brian Cody would have addressed very quickly at the next training session, like that our own patch is just an absolute no-no and teams have to understand that if they come in here, it's going to be cutthroat stuff.
John, just on Tipperary there, you obviously know Liam Cattle well from his time at Waterford, had Waterford playing some of the best stuff they've ever played. Do you see the pieces kind of, I know it's only early and it's only the second round of the league, but do you see the pieces kind of coming together a bit now? There was maybe a bit of turbulence last year with adapting to a new style that they weren't familiar with, but do you see it kind of all coming together a bit more now?
Yeah, well, look, that would always be the case in year two, that, you know, under the guidance of Mikey Bevins, that, you know, what they were trying to do last year, I'd say, you know, this year they're probably trying to go and one step further and try and perfect it even more. And I suppose, look, they kind of had to break down, you know, the disappointment of the previous year. You know, and I suppose a case of last year, it was kind of a case of, you know, we'll go after results, try and get as many results on the board as possible. They probably had to go and have a really tough pre-season. We heard last night that they didn't this year. They've come back later on in the year. I think Liam Cattle and probably Mikey Bevins and his managing team will probably take a lot of learnings from last year, where things went wrong, where they need to improve on, a bit similar to Waterford in year three. And look, he hasn't been shy in saying that he wants to go after this league. He wants to, you know, he wants to win every game. He doesn't see, you know, he doesn't see it being a hindrance to Tipperary going forward. You know, if they were to win a league title, the one thing that they have in their favour, you know, going into the Munster campaign, they have a bye in the first round. So that allows them to go and really target league success. And now they're in a great position, you know, that they're strong favourites now to get into the last four. Yesterday's result has more or less secured a semi-final appearance. And all in all, for now, look, we can't get away from the fact that either that we're only going into the second week of February. But yeah, Tipperary are in a really good place, Michael.
On the flip of that, Mull, with Galway, are there still a lot of question marks? Like, who's going to be playing where? What sort of style are they playing? There seems to be that same inconsistency still seems to be there, which is, and I said, I know it's early, but like, it's, if you take it, it's two and a bit years into Henry's reign and we're still kind of maybe a bit confused about what way they're going.
Yeah, you could say that, but look, I suppose I would hold judgment on Galway for, you know, I think the goal for Galway this year is to win a Leinster title. I think that has to be the number one thing for Galway this year, to win a Leinster title, avoid possibly playing Limerick in another semi-final, and I think that has to be the goal. And look, for me, with an awful lot of teams, I'm going to hold my judgment. It's very hard. It's early doors. You even look at the personnel that they were missing yesterday, Vernie. You know, he's down an awful lot of bodies. You know, you even seen that young McLaughlin from Port Tumlin. Now, I was really looking forward to seeing him in the league. He's after picking up a bad injury. I think he broke his thumb, which he's probably going to be out of the, or I think he had a broken finger. He's going to be out of the Fitzgibbon for Mary Eye as well. So, yeah, I don't think there'll be any panic yet from Henry. Plus, on top of that, you touched on Liam Cattle and Mikey Bevins trying to change things up for Tipperary. I'm sure Eamon O'Shea coming in now, you know, behind the scenes in training, is trying to change things up for the way Galway go about their business come the summer. So I think there's probably going to have to be, you know, a little bit of patience with Galway throughout this league.
But there's even, just quickly on that, there's two little things there. I suppose there is big pressure on Galway this year. They have to deliver the Leinster title, and it's a tough place to be, because very quickly now, like you said, Mikey, there, come June, July, it's year three for the lads and for Henry. So they'll have to deliver something. They've been close. But the other thing is, just even the relationship there with Henry and O'Shea, like, to get to know each other. Like, he knows Richie O'Neill a long, long time. So there's also that dynamic, getting to understand each other, getting to understand, you know, what Eamon O'Shea's input is going to be and allowing them to input that, or where does that... And I'm sure they've sat down and had conversations. But that's an interesting thing, because I think it's so important that you, like, for you gel together, you're on the same wavelength and you understand what he's about and trust what he's doing. Like, so that's another interesting thing. And the question is, have they time to bed that down? Because like the injuries now, yeah, it's the second week, third week in February, but it is coming at very, very quick. Like, you pick up a hamstring injury now, you're now looking at championship. Will he be ready in 5, 6, 7 weeks' time and have enough of work done to sustain matches week after week? So it's probably, that's the big one now, is injuries now are lethal at this time of the year.
Yeah, I think Declan McLaughlin has a broken thumb. Kevin Cooney had to go under the knife for a hamstring injury that will keep him out for 4 or 5 months. But just on Eamon O'Shea and Henry, it's gas, Eddie. If someone had said to you 14 years ago that one of the main men that would stop the drive for five would be working with Henry, and that David Herity would be in the opposite camp, in the Tipperary camp, you'd probably be a bit surprised. But listen, that's kind of the way of the world now. Just on Waterford and Clare, John, it finished 20 points for Clare, 116 for Waterford. You were in at it, John. What were your initial impressions of it? And I suppose just even from reading Eddie in the Independent this morning, like, do you like the way Waterford are setting up? Do you like the way they're playing? Is it attractive on the eye? Will it get supporters behind them?
Look, I just think we've just got to accept now that David Sherrill, you know, he just likes like, he's not the conventional type of person. He's no different to Mickey Howard. He's no different to Jimmy McGuinness. Some managers are like that. And I just think the fact that, you know, Davey goes out and has this plus one at the back, it's probably more under the eye of supporters, of people watching Waterford from the outside looking in. And I just think we just have to accept now that, you know, he's going to play with the plus one at the back. I've no problem with that. I've no problem with him playing with the plus one at the back. I think, you know, once you have you have two lads inside, as we've seen against Tipperary last year, where he had Patrick Fitzgerald and he had Desi. And I think, you know, you go back to last year, I think he was probably coming in for a bit of criticism for his placement of Desi. Now, again, a bit like Galway, I'm not going to come on here now this morning and start, you know, criticising Davey Fitzgerald or criticising Waterford when you consider the personnel that they were missing yesterday. And I think you've got to give him great credit for blooding some of these young lads. You know, you think of PJ Fannin, you think of Conor Ryan, you think of Sean Welsh, Martin Power, they all acquit themselves very well yesterday. I thought Paddy Levy was excellent in that role as the spare man. And look, Davey will counteract anything that's thrown at him by saying, did Waterford concede a goal yesterday? They didn't concede a goal. And I thought there was some good stuff. You know, look, there was some ordinary stuff as well. But again, for the second week in February, considering the personnel we were missing, you know, I thought it was probably a decent performance. It was probably the best performance we could allow for yesterday. Now, look, the worry is, Eddie touched on it there, about lads picking up hamstring injuries. The worry for Waterford, Stephen Bennett went down yesterday, picked up a hamstring injury. So where's he going to be at? You know, if he's after picking up a hamstring injury, we're hearing that, you know, Davey's trying to mind him behind the scenes. He's not doing possibly the training that others are doing. And that's why these matches were so crucial for Stephen going forward in the league. But I thought his brother looked lively when he came on. Shane looked lively when he came on. But look, Davey remarked after the match that it's all about finishing in the top three. He's not going to get too bogged down about being in the top seven. But it's a great test now for Waterford now, because their last three games now are, they go down to Cork, I'm sure now Cork are going to have to go gun ho to try and win that game. That's going to be a good test for them. Kilkenny coming to town, a local derby in Welsh Park. That's always going to be a great test. And then they finish with Wexford in their last game. And that could be a potentially a do-or-die game to see who gets that that last spot for next year's league. So I think it's for what's coming down the road with three really good testing games, and he'll find out an awful lot more about his panel going forward. But for now, I don't think we can be too hard on Dave Fisher, be too hard on any of those Waterford players, because for the team that he had out yesterday, they gave a good, honest effort and a good account of themselves. And look, when you see a team going out and giving a good, honest account of themselves and the effort is decent, I think it's nearly irrelevant what way they set up, or if they plus one at the back or if they plus two at the back. All I would ask for in any team is that, you know, they're going out, they're giving 100%, and you know, you see where potentially you can go after that. And I think that's what Davey got out of those lads yesterday, you know.
Just on the flip of that, Eddie, the headline in your piece this morning was Davey Fitz is persistent with a radical system, but I'm not sure it will work for the Daisha. Something you call a pilot study. Can you break it down a bit, like maybe some of the tactics that he's employing and maybe why you think they don't suit them?
Well, I suppose just thinking even more about it seems like it's, I suppose, hurling now for me is that you can have a setup, but there's no doubt about it, you cannot stick to that setup right through 75 minutes of hurling for championship. You have to be able to probably change it up. Like even I'd say in Cork and Kilkenny the other night, Cork will go in a certain way. Then they seem to change it up. They probably had to change it up for the last 10 minutes before halftime. Tommy O'Connell wrote his match. But yeah, look, on that, I suppose the pilot thing is that it's we John touched on it there. And yeah, we have to reserve judgment because last year probably it put them in a great position against Limerick. And ultimately it was that natural hurling instincts, which I think has to take over. It has to come through the system as well, whatever system you're going with. And again, I can see the merits in what Davey is trying to do. I think you get it. But like how, I suppose the results are going to be, he'll be judged on the results. And will that deliver consistent results? And I think for that to happen, I think, yeah, on yesterday, I take all John's points and they're right. He's dead right. You know, you have young lads in there. But ultimately, it was probably that little bit of hurling cleverness or natural hurling has to take over at some stage through the system. And that's possibly what got Clare over the line, albeit a point in the league in February in Walsh Park. It's nothing to be jumping up and down around. But sometimes a one-point defeat can be good in the overall development of the team. Like you said, you're blooding players. And you say, well, we didn't throw in the towel, we went right to the end. But the system of what he's trying to do, you know, all your backs pushing out outside the 45, yeah, you're taking out your forwards. But if you have pacey forwards and you get a turnover, you're now going to be backpedaling strong. And I suppose it's going to, yeah, does it yield goals? It hasn't so far. But in championship hurling, will it deliver you? I think there has to be a time where you go for a match. And ultimately last year, to give Davey Fitz credit, they were the one team that unsettled Limerick. They didn't allow Limerick, you know, the way Limerick kind of like to have interventions in a match, or they like to kind of control the pace of the game, and they're very good at that. I thought last year, to give them credit, Waterford were the one team that really unsettled Limerick, and it was probably just a little bit of probably steadiness and natural hurling might have got them over the line. The wides probably killed them in the end, and their year could have been so different had that result. And then you flip to what they were able to do to Tip, completely outmaneuver Tip in that last match. And it is something a little bit radical. He used his goalie even to great effect that day. So this is what you get from Davey. And I suppose, like John said there, in fairness, you can't be too hard on it now because it is a work in progress. So therefore, come championship, and when you get some of the missing Waterford players back into that setup and you have young lads there blending in with them, that's where the real test is going to be, and that's where we'll hold our judgment for, in fairness.
And to be fair to you lads, right, we're talking about Cattle and Bevins in year two, right? And, you know, there needs to be a small bit of patience, and likewise with Galway. But there needs to be a small bit of patience also with Davey, because you have to remember, like, you're on about Cattle coming in after Colin Bonner, but also you have to remember, Davey was taken over from Cal, right? And he wanted to kind of, you know, get his players to adapt to it the way Davey wants his team to.
Two completely different styles, you're right.
Two complete different styles. So that does take time. And to be fair to those players last year, you're going from a style where you had Liam Cal, Mikey Bevins, and it was just attack, 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 to now being told, right, we're going the opposite and we're going to a style where we're going to be more defensive-minded and we're going to try and not concede as much and we're going to keep the game tight. Might be pretty on the eye. And
it gets you closer, yeah.
It gets you closer. And to be fair to Davey, he's in year two now. You might see probably it being more effective this year. And as Eddie touched on, you know, you have an awful lot of those big names to come back. And to be fair, I think he's going the right route this year. I even said that he should have done it last year with Desi Hutchin. He had Desi Hutchin out in league games last year. First league game, second round of the league. We haven't seen Desi Hutchin this year. We haven't seen Jamie Barron. That probably should have been the approach last year. And I probably think he's probably taken the learnings from last year and said, you know what, I'm going to hold back my big guns. I'm going to keep them fresh and we're going to go gun-ho for that Clark and Tipperary game.
But even on your point there, John, I think some of the, if you looked at the Waterford squads that Derek McGrath had, they played kind of similar to what Davey is. So in the middle of that, you had a transition. You had Pádraig Fanning for a year. Then you had Liam Cal, where I understand, and again, I'm not going to talk out of school here, but I understand one of their big frustrations when they went in year one with Waterford was he felt that they weren't, once forwards got possession, they weren't trying to break a tackle and head for a goal. They were coming lateral the whole time. So that's the conditioning of 5 years under Derek, and they play a certain way. So I suppose there is, that's you know, completely two different ways of playing and setting up. So that does, in fairness, take time.
And to be fair, to Pádraig Fanning, and I'd often thought to Pádraig Fanning about it, like Pádraig Fanning then was trying to change from Derek being defensive-minded to, and Pádraig wanted to come in then, he wanted to change it up to being more offensive and he wanted to go on the attack. And that takes time, and probably Pádraig Fanning probably wasn't given enough time to go and do that. Like, so it's a contrast of styles, really, and you have to be given time to be able to kind of, you know, go from one style to another style.
It's funny you say that, because I know Colin Bonner gets hammered as well, but if you look at a load of the Tipperary lads that are playing at the minute, or the lads that are leading the squad, there are a lot of lads that got their chance in 2022. It'd be very interesting to see a fully fit and fully tuned Waterford with all their personnel and what they can do come summer. Just a quick word, John, on Clare. Like, without Tony Kelly, obviously John Condon is back. Like, Brian Lowen would be licking his lips after the weekend, realistically. They've 2-2, probably had a bit of a stuttering league last year. They're in a really good position now. If you look at the likes of Conor Lean, Keane Galvin, Sean Rin, all these, like there's new kind of faces putting their hands up as well.
Yeah, but you often touched on Limerick. There's no point some of these Limerick lads being given an opportunity if they don't have 9 or 10 of the core starting 15 around them. And that's the one beautiful thing for a lot of these young lads that are being given an opportunity. They have the core 9 or 10 lads that are going to start. Now look, he held off, he left off Adam Hogan, he left off Rogers yesterday on account of, I'm sure, the Fitzgibbon. Yeah. But he had the luxury then of being able to bring back in Rory Hayes, the luxury then of being able to bring in John Conlon, he brought back in Ian Galvin. So they're not weakening it a whole lot. And if you were making your debut, you know, in contrast to Waterford, yeah, you like the likes of PJ Fanning, you like the Sean Welch, you the likes of who else I touched on there, Martin Bauer. They're having to come in, and it's nearly an experimental side. And still give a very good account of themselves, in contrast to the Clare players who are coming in, like Conor Lean, Sean Rain. Mounty got another opportunity yesterday.
Patrick Crotty, very good as well, wasn't he?
Gavin Crotty, but they were coming in with a core 9 or 10 yeah, lads.
Well, if you were Rin and you have Davey Mack one side, yeah, Conlon there, Conor Cleary behind you, that helps. Rory Hayes in behind you, that's brilliant. You know, it's a great way to roll in.
And that's what he done the previous week against Cork, you know, he had a good core 10 lads starting, and he was able to throw them in. And look, it's a great way of building your panel depth as well. But look, they're in a great position now, Michael. They dug out it. It was a real physical, robust game. And I think, as Brian Lowe touched in the aftermath, it's a tough venue to go and get a result. And great credit to Clare yesterday. They were able to dig it out. They stayed in the game. I thought it was very, very good yesterday. And it's only when you go and you see him up close yesterday and you see the amount of work that he goes to. Colin Malone, lads.
He's brilliant.
He's underrated. A real unsung hero. Probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves for the amount of effort and work and the work that goes unnoticed. I thought he was very, very good. And look, they find themselves in a fantastic position now of getting to a semi-final, Michael.
You see the other thing there? I just don't know if you noticed this. I see a guy behind the goal, behind the Waterford goalie again.
I didn't notice it now.
Look at it on TG4. He's there behind him. You can see him. He has the headpiece. The piece is in the ear. And you see him peeping up. And it was the first half I noticed it. Which way Clare were playing, yeah. And just you can just see it a few times on the Oaks, you're kind of going on.
But the most pleasing
thing. We're four now, I suppose, yeah.
But the most pleasing thing for me last year, and I touched on the article in Saturday's article, we had Peter Queeley up in the stand. And I know Peter. Peter is one of the most passionate men that you'll ever come across. And even we seen it last year, for the first time last year, he was on the sideline with Tipperary, and Davey having him alongside him, you know, is going to be massive for Waterford this year. And you know, you even touched on it, even Owen Kelly, lads. You even touched on Eamon O'Shea, you know, coming in and getting used to Henry, and there's a bedding in process. And maybe Kelly last year probably had to go through that bedding process, you know, outside of his own county. And you might see, you know, we might read the rewards of Owen Kelly this year in year two rather than last year.
Just on Saturday night, from a Kilkenny point of view, Eddie, when they were good, I'd say they were very good. They probably switched off at different times, and Cork switched on one or the other, and Cork caused them a bit of trouble. But it was very important to get the 2 points on the board here, because it kind of looked at stages that it was slipping away from them.
Yeah, and you'd have to say that coming down that last few minutes, 20 minutes out, if Cork's accuracy is tidier, they could have won that match by 3 or 4 points. You know, they just, I suppose this time of the year and fatigue is starting to kick in. But yeah, look, it was strange because I thought Kilkenny's ability to walk the ball out short, which is something I think they need to, you know, it's an area they can fix or they can bring to an advantage, I think, in going into championship. They were excellent, but it was probably tempered a bit with the fact that Cork weren't engaging. Cork, for some reason, whatever happens, they just came out flat. And I don't know whether it's just that Kilkenny got off to such a heater, but from a Kilkenny perspective, right, I think it was good, and that when the challenge was thrown down to them, they didn't die either. They found a way to get over the line. They found a way to get a massive 2 points, because if you don't get those 2 points, you're now under pressure for your next 3 matches in a big, big way, knowing that, you know, and I suppose is one of them, have they to go to Clare maybe, or go down to Waterford, you know, so you just don't know. But I think what's missing is that little bit of finesse and that little bit of cutthroats to kill a game off. Kilkenny had an opportunity probably to put that match in bed before, put it to bed maybe 10 minutes before halftime. They can run in a goal or two there, Cork are in big, big trouble. And I think that's maybe the area that Derek would like to see them get to. Yeah, you're very rarely going to put a big number on a team, you know, a top tier team like that. But I think if you're going to go places and build that confidence and build that kind of real ruthless killer streak to get matches done, then I think when you are in the ascendancy like that, you have to steamroll a team. You have to make sure that you win. And it's, you know, take Mikey Carey's burst and run through the middle. You know, big long hurl trying to take a shot from outside the 21. That's not going to happen at this level. You know, you need to be just a tiny bit calmer and then draw in a lad and pop pass or whatever, and that you kind of almost walk the ball in a bit closer. And just, I just thought it was one or two goal chances there that went to begging. and that could have changed results. And equally, look, Cork at the other end. But it was a funny match. Cork came to life a little bit. I think they started playing with a bit of abandon. And central to it, I know Mellory coming on was significant, but Tommy O'Connell seems to be a guy that has really, without ever being, I suppose he's a new guy in the scene there, he's a leader for them. Like, I mean, when the challenge was when they needed bodies to be put in the line last Saturday evening, in their own patch, Tommy O'Connell brought the fire. And you'd have to admire him because he was up the field, he was down the field, he put in the hook on Carey, he got a point earlier on just outside the 21. So it's guys like that, I think, is what possibly missing in Cork. And I don't know, look, they're looking at some of those defenders quite a while now. Maybe it's time for a little bit of change there, and the likes of, you know, some of his new guys coming in, they might be the way forward, you know.
Like, what happens on the field? Like, is it a quick word with a fella where you say, we're going to get three balls here, we need to make hay with them? Or how does that manifest itself on the pitch?
I think it manifests itself in that you're aware of what's happening, and it's even, you know, you're sensing that the opposition are under pressure, their body language, maybe they're talking the way they're not talking, they could be arguing with each other. And it's just a case of, even I found at times it could be that, right, rather than maybe just hang off, just go off out to the sideline, tuck out at the sideline, and maybe leave space for Gorta to operate in, or whoever it was, or Taggy, give them space maybe, because you wanted space sometimes, and the opposition maybe could get a positive in by a tackle. Whereas you're saying, no, let's open them up now and let's try. And it was more, I suppose it wasn't a collective thing. It was just maybe, an ingrained thing more so, that if there's chances there, yeah, take a few points, we'll build up, get the scoreboard taken over. And then I suppose it's awareness and it's experience of understanding, hey, there's a goal on here. In the blink of an eye, you understand there's a goal on here. And it could be as simple, Michael, as running a certain line, knowing that if once I square off and I'm heading for the goal, well, now number three has to make a decision. And once whoever it was, Gorta or Henry, peeled off in the right position, it was then the timing of that pass. It wasn't trying to force it through yourself, maybe, but I think it's just an awareness of what's happened with the opposition, sensing that, I suppose it's your in-game smarts and knowing that now is a good time to get it. There's a time there where maybe you come close on one, you go, no, let's get another point. And that's where it's at, I think.
Yeah, and what I found with that brilliant Kilkenny team, Verney, was the timing. Like, you could be 3 or 4 points behind, or even 2 points behind, you know, with 5 minutes just before halftime, and they're just saying, right, we get into halftime, we regroup, and we'll have a chat. And that's when they push that button and say, right, they go after a goal, maybe 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes before halftime, hit you for a goal, and all of a sudden then, instead of you being 2 or 3 points down at halftime, you're 6 or 7 points down at halftime, and you're going in half deflated. And in the aftermath of that halftime, you would nearly always time and nearly go after halftime, hit a team for a goal. And in the blink of an eye, and it's a bit something similar with Limerick, and I even see with Ballygunner down here in Waterford, where a team could be going toe to toe with them, you know, it could be only 2 or 3 points, and then the next team, boom, they flick that switch, and it could be that crucial time just before halftime, they hit you for a goal after halftime, and in the blink of an eye, the margin's nearly out between 8 to 10 points.
And when you look at that at halftime, sure, that was what happened going in. Like, Kilkenny, after doing all the hurling and railroading Cork for 25 minutes, suddenly Cork were in a position where they're panicking possibly going in at halftime, or they're very deflated. Suddenly they're getting a shot of adrenaline going in at halftime, rattle off 1-3, and the mindsets are so different. Like, and then that's where psychology and experience and all that kicks in. Like, so just an interesting one, yeah.
There's definitely glaring similarities, I would say, between the great Kilkenny team and the current Limerick team. I think back to that All-Ireland semi-final last year with Galway and Limerick, and Galway going in, I think, a point ahead at half-time. They should have been 10 up. You know what I mean? You're under pressure going in. You feel like you're nearly beaten going in. But just the point you made, Eddie, there, and I might touch on it with you, John. You said about, you know, if you sense a goal is on. There were a couple of times I felt Cork were trying to force a goal chance, maybe when it wasn't on. Maybe Shane Kingston, maybe I'd say, was probably a culprit at different times. I'm not sure if the goal was actually on, and it's a bit deflating then when the ball is turned over or whatever. But John, what did you make of Cork? It's like last year, I would say the best thing that came out of Cork was their consistency. There wasn't as many peaks and troughs throughout their performance. Whereas you look at the other day, Like it was probably a no-show for 25 minutes and then some very, very good elements. But that inconsistency, you'd have to say, is a small bit of a worry. I take the point that it's only early in the year, but you want to be consistent across the 70, 75 minutes.
Well, the two things we've seen, you know, that was consistent across the weekend was that, you know, teams were probably, Cork was very similar to the previous week against Clare, where they were taking that extra pass to Manny out around the middle third when there was no need to take that extra pass or two instead of getting the ball in quicker and faster into their inside line. Another thing is that an awful lot of teams had a lot of lull moments in the games over the weekend, and Cork were one of those teams. And I suppose what's crucial for a lot of these teams is when you go through those lull moments or those lull periods of time, it's trying to hang in there and minimise the damage as much as you can. And Eddie touched on it there with Cork. He touched on engagement, and we touched on it in last year's pod about Cork. When Cork are willing to engage in the tackle, get down, get dirty, are willing to put their bodies in the line, are willing to take the hits, that's when Cork are at their best. But when they get into this mindset of this tippy-tappy hurling, trying to, you know, play a lovely ball, not be willing to put their bodies on the line, that's where Cork struggle. And Eddie touched on it there, he's 100% right. They need a couple more players like Tommy O'Connell, who's able to grind the teeth, go through lads, take on lads, is willing to put his body on the line. And if they find one or two more of them, they'll be in the mix. They'll be in the mix. And Eddie's 100% right. It's a mindset thing for an awful lot of these Cork players, because they have the hurler. They have the hurling. They're probably the most skillful hurlers outside of Limerick. But, you know, when you're looking for those traits, that's where there's a tendency to struggle. But look, going on, they still have an awful lot of big hitters to come back in. The big worry for Pat Ryan coming out of the game Saturday night is the injury to Robbie O'Flynn. And by looking at his body language coming off, it doesn't look too good. And if they're to lose him again for the year, he will be a colossal loss for Cork going forward into the summer.
Just on Cork, I think the frustrating thing, and you mentioned it there, Mull, when they do push up and get physical, they're really hard to handle. Like they were all over Kilkenny at different stages when they decided to get physical. I think that's the frustrating thing, that we don't always see that. If they're able to put that together for four or five games in a row where they really push up and get down and dirty, as you say, I think they'll be right in the mix. Funny you say about the hamstrings there, Jake Morris, Brian O'Mara, TJ Brennan even went off. I'm not sure if that was an injury or not. And a couple of lads that you mentioned there, it's a real precarious time of the year, isn't it? You're under pressure going into championship if you pick up a bit of a hamstring knock as well. So there's a lot of boys on the back foot, I'd say. Just a quick word on Westmead. You know, I thought it was a brilliant performance. They were level with Limerick at half time. They're even level the early stages of the second half, beaten by six in the end. I think Limerick were very flattered by the 6-point win, by all accounts. And I know, Mull, you were down in Wexford Park on Saturday night. Biblical weather down there, but geez, at least the entertainment on the pitch was keeping everyone fairly warm anyway. Finished in a draw between Wexford and Offaly. 13-man Wexford. Offaly probably feel they left something behind, but you know, from an Offaly point of view, very, very encouraging performance. What were your main kind of takeaways as a man on the ground down there?
Yeah, geez, I was going to Wedge Park and one or two of the Abbey side lads were giving me a bit of a... they were kind of laughing. Like, Jesus, all you were saying on the radio yesterday, awfully, I'm back. A result and a performance to say that, you know, they're making huge strides to get back to where they want to be. I thought they were excellent. I really thought they were excellent. I texted you on the way back. Myself and Pádraig lodged on it. It was a real exciting game. I thought Offaly were brilliant. I honestly did. And we've seen it in the past where they've got hammered before on their strength and conditioning. I thought their conditioning last Saturday night was unbelievable. And I was saying to my own mind, surely there's going to be a dip now in the second half. And the lads highlighted it on the League Sunday last night, the work rate of their forwards when they didn't have the ball. They were ravenous, they were hunting in twos and threes. Like, when was the last time we seen that from an Offaly team? And I thought some of their passages of play were very, 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 very good. Brian Dygan, I thought, was excellent, took the goal very well. Killian Sampson, usually we've seen him in the past, he's usually back around half back, corner back. They put him wing forward. I thought he was excellent. Killian Kiley, centre back, he was a man down in centre back. I thought Ben Keneally done a fantastic man marking job on Lee Chin. I thought Burke, full back, was solid. Just on the sending off, I thought Jack O'Connor was going on the cameras last night. I thought at the time, I thought, Jesus, I was kind of relating back to last year's Joe McDonough Cup final when the Offaly cornerback was
Sarah Maher, yeah.
So, but looking at the TV cameras last night, it looks like the Jack O'Connor. I think that will be probably rescinded. I think there was a whole lot in it. Two of them are kind of tugging one another, but yeah, it's a great one now for Johnny Kelly and his management team now to go and build on for the rest of this league. And Sweeney got game time. I know you were saying in the first pod that, you know, they needed to mind Sweeney, and I was even saying that maybe they'd hold him off, and they took him off with 15 minutes to go. I thought the game was there to be won, and he wasn't seeing much ball, but any ball he was getting on, he got on one ball and he recycled it back out to I think it was Nally, and I think Nally put the ball over the bar. I would have kept him on the field just for the last 15 minutes because he has that bit of X factor. If he would have gone on a ball or two in the closing stage of that game, he may have gotten him over the line. But all in all, I think they'll be kicking themselves. They didn't go back up the road with the 2 points, because for the effort and the performance, it fully warranted the win. But great credit has to go to Wexford as well. Down to 13 men. They were, by their standards, they were probably a bit disappointing. But again, you got to give great credit to Offaly. They didn't allow them to get into their flow. They didn't allow them to settle into the match. They didn't allow them. They were on them like they were on them like a flash in the Wexford defence. Put them under pressure. But again, look, Hugh Ross, I will be delighted that they were able to, you know, show a bit of resilience, show a bit of character, and dig out a draw in the end, you know.
Yeah, from an Offaly point of view, you were saying there's more about Waterford. All you want to see is a real honesty of effort from a team, and that's kind of what we saw from Offaly on Saturday night. So, and it, you know, they were tactically savvy, I thought, in the first half, pushed up on the Wexford, puck out and pushed up on the Wexford defenders. I didn't think Wexford really knew what to do when they pushed up on them in the first half. So
who was actually very, very effective as well was Charlie Mitchell. Now, and
brilliant player, yeah.
You're on about, like, Waterford played a plus one at the back. Well, he did. Offaly played two inside. Charlie Mitchell came out as a forward half forward and was very, very effective. You know, I think he set up three or four scores. And the pass off, even for Brian Dygan, he was kind of bottled up, and he managed to get the pass
fairly
off.
Fairly debatable now, boys, in all fairness. I don't know if it was a pass or a throw.
Yeah, well, look, he still managed to get it off. And a great finish by Brian Dygan. But yeah, I thought he was very, very effective for Offaly Saturday night as well.
Now, to just finish up with a quick one before we go. Ned, I'm wondering, what's the best, worst, or funniest advice you ever got throughout your career?
Oh, Jesus. I know there's some of them now. They're probably not. I couldn't repeat them and identify the offenders. But no, look, I suppose one guy we had, I was fortunate enough to experience him as a teacher inside in St. Kieran's College, Dennis Philpott, Mr. Philpott. He was a bars man, I think, from Cork originally, and he was up teaching with us. And I suppose, as having not kind of maybe gone or heard too much outside your own county, for me, this Cork accent that he had in school and his demeanour and the way he used to go on just kind of intrigued me a little bit. But he had a little saying. He says, you get the ball as if you love it, boy, and then you get rid of it as if you absolutely hate it. And it was a great little saying. I mean, simple little one, but I'd never heard that around our parts before. Like, and it was just, it was his probably one of his lines really, that he would trot out to the senior team, and it was something different. And when you look at what he influenced in Kilkenny, it was incredible. But there's a few funny ones, all right. But I might say I let Muller come in there. Muller definitely has a good one here.
I don't think we can be too harsh on what's the worst advice you got, because I don't think for any manager I've ever played under, I don't think I've ever, you know, any advice I've ever been taken on board, I don't think I've ever gone away and said, geez, you know what, I'm not going to take that on board, or what does he know about it? Now, in the aftermath, you might, if things have gone wrong, I'd say, geez, I might have done that differently. But I suppose I would have, any manager I would have played under, I would have had the respect of every manager, and any advice I would have been given, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, I would have always taken on board and said, right, yeah, you know what, I'm going to take that on board. Probably best advice, I suppose, look, you'd always listen to your parents. I suppose my own father would have, he would have said to me back in the day, like, you know, you keep going to the final whistle, no matter what's happening, whatever the result is, or whatever, you know, if lads are, you know, throwing in the towel around you keep fighting to the end. And that always kind of stuck with me, that, you know, you keep going to the final whistle. And another lad, Nicky Cashin, was very good to me. Nicky Cashin said to me, you know, there's often times early on in my career where I would be kind of beating myself up or getting frustrated if I wasn't getting on a ball, or, you know, early doors, nearly looking to the line, or am I going to be taken off? But I remember Nicky pulled me aside one day and he said to me, he said, you know what? He said, just be patient. He said, all you need is 5 minutes to win the game. And he said, it might be the 65th minute, it might be the 55th minute, it might be the 45th minute. All you need is 5 minutes to win a game. And I always took that on board, bringing that bit of patience into the game. Probably the funniest one, I won't mention his name, but we had a manager back in De La Salle. He got us a county final. He's very good now. He was very, very good now. First year, he's very good. I'd have to speak highly of him. Probably would have had a falling out with him back in the immediate time. But I remember we were playing a county final against Ballygunner in 2005. And it was our first county final. First county final. And the Sunday before it, we were training up in our old grounds up in the Clayby. And, you know, if anyone knows the Clayby Road, there's cars passing up and down, up and down. So we had a mock parade. Yeah, we had us walking around the Clayby in a mock parade, 1 to 15, all lined up, getting ready. And it was fucking pissing rain out. And we were walking around. And I remember getting to the other side of the hill. And we're all looking at each other, keep looking straight. And I remember saying, if anyone is looking at us, they're walking around doing a mock parade. You know, but that was kind of the psychological thing of trying to get us ready for the following Sunday. And we've seen time and time again, you know, managers trying to do those type of things. And you know, and that can be the percent that can get you over the line. Even a small thing before the match of getting ready for a parade. And, you know, while it was funny, but I could see the logic behind doing it at the time, because, you know, I was saying, right, this is our first time that we'll, and for an awful lot of the younger lads, and lads that probably won't be involved in county setups, it was probably more getting them ready for what was going to come down the road in 7 days' time.
Yeah, weren't playing enough junior, Mull, I think. If we played enough junior, we'd probably, you know, I finished up there 2 years ago with the junior team with lad overs. He's funny now, but he used to be always saying, oh, geez, lads, I want you spread out up front. And we're all like going, no, we don't want to spread out. Just keep it nice and tight where we have less running to do. Like, it's more, I think, the junior B or the junior C is where you get the bit of crack with stuff like that. And there could be a bit of madcap stuff, but not with the De La Salle prep for the county final. Did you play any junior B, Mull?
Oh, Junior B. I played Junior B. The COVID, the Bull and Stevie Brenner Stevie Brenner asked me to come up, and I said, look, come on up, play, come on up. Now, look, Junior B is what it can be wild, lads, you know. So we're up there, Annie, and we were playing the Mollerns. St. Mollerns. They'd be up around Carrick Bay, and I had a good relationship with all the boys up in Carrick Bay, but we were playing the Mallards anyway. And I came on about 20 minutes to go, and I was marking this fella. He was about 25, 26, and he was pulling. He was pulling wild now. It was like an All-Ireland team. And I'm seeing your man now saying, right, all I need to do is just get through the last 20 minutes, get home, get done and dusted, and I'll be it. A man shook me after the shook hands me after the match, and he says, Jesus, John, that was fucking great, he said. And I said, you know what? Fair play. I said, you'll be glad to know he was the last man ever to shake my hand. So the lad said to me, then we're playing Clonay Power next week, another wild power. I said, lads, good luck. That's me finished the fire. See you later.
Brilliant stuff. On that bombshell, lads, we'll finish up for the week. John and Eddie, thanks for joining me. And in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review and follow us on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening and goodbye.